Kobe, will you say the following sentence into your headphone or into your microphone? Are you ready? You have to say episode 2. Which one are we on now? 214.
214.
So you have to say this whole thing. Episode 214, catching up with Kobe Radcliffe and other news.
Episode 214, catching up with Kobe Radcliffe.
Don't we want a little pause there?
Yeah,
I think we do now.
Do it again.
Quit clicking while you're doing it.
Just a second. I'm deleting some emails.
Oh, crap.
Now's not the best time for that.
Just a second.
Just, if you need to clear your browser history, do it on your own time, man.
I don't need to clear my browser history. I'm checking fantasy football stuff.
Just email. Dude,
come on,
we
man.
We gotta record, man.
Okay, what? Oh.
Episode 214.
Good Lord.
Episode 214.
All right, give it a little we need a little space so I can edit this. Go ahead.
Episode 214, catching up with Kobe Radcliffe and other news.
Thank God we got there.
Good work.
That only took 2 tries, and you told me how to do it wrong the first time. So.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Kobe Radcliffe.
And I am Ben DiBono.
And we are... And
we did it right, because we are back!
Back! Yeah. Good job. I didn't even point at you guys.
No, that was wonderful.
We're in sync.
All right.
We are symbiotic.
Kobe Radcliffe is in the house today, everybody.
It's a long word.
Can we hear it for Kobe?
That's 4 syllables.
You had to clap to figure that out. Symbiotic. 4 claps. That must mean 4 syllables.
That's how you teach kids to do how to do that.
You're not a kid. You're going for your master's degree.
I'm going to have my master's degree.
That's what it means. You're going to have your master's degree. You, like, contradict me and then say the exact same thing.
Not this again.
Why are you yelling?
All right, let's just calm down.
Because I'm passionate about you, little buddy.
Please.
Kobe, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, welcome, Kobe.
Welcome back from the Green Screen Podcast. So tell everybody about...
Welcome back from it?
Yeah.
I'm still there.
I think this would be a good time to hear a little thank you for our contribution to the Green Screen Podcast.
Which was...
Your amazing theme music.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Matt didn't find it. I found it.
That's sadly true. Kobe, tell us about what's been going on in your life. So I saw today you finished your last Greek test so you're off for the semester?
I am done for the semester.
All 3 of us know Greek now.
And you recently got back from Phoenix?
From Phoenix.
And so
it was so nice.
You were doing some ministry stuff there. Talk about that.
Yeah, we did a Wounded Warriors and Fellowship of Christian Athletes softball game. There was some Olympians that played on the team, and there was a former Yankee that got to play on the team, so that was fun to hang out with him.
Yeah, he played third base. You played shortstop. What was the third baseman's name?
Well, he was a pitcher, actually, from the New York Yankees. His name is Ryan Bradley.
Okay.
Pitched for about 8 years. And he got stuck behind Mariano Rivera, so he didn't really get a shine. But
so the ministry was reaching out to veterans that maybe don't know Christ. Is that correct?
Well, Wounded Warriors is that everybody on their softball team has a missing limb. They're actually called, like, the Wounded Warrior Amputee softball team or whatever. So some of the guys even had double amputee on their legs.
How do you play softball in that case?
They had prosthetics, and some of them are pretty impressive, actually. We had a home run derby. The guy only has 1 leg and he won. He was a beast. No, it was really fun. We got to witness to them, just share the love of Christ with them and have a fun time.
It was you and your dad, and then I saw your mom surprised you by going down there.
Yeah, she came down.
That's awesome.
Friday night it was.
That's cool. So. Ben, I don't know if you know this, but I'm actually, besides the fact that I'm friends with Kobe, I'm also friends with his parents. We all used to go to church together.
Yeah, I know.
Did.
So
Bridgewood.
Great parents. I love your parents.
They are pretty awesome. I got lucky.
Of all my friends, your parents are 2 of my favorites.
Thank you. High five.
Oh, we'll do it again.
That was the most pathetic high five I've ever witnessed in my life.
Super not go painful. Well. Let's see. What else should we know about you? So we talked about.
We know about him. He's been on the show before.
Is called Catching Up with Kobe.
We're not catching up with him.
News. I want to hear a few things. So talk about the green screen.
Yeah, let's hear about the green screen.
Tell us all the ways that we can find it. So website.
Website, thegreenscreenpodcast@.com.
Okay.
I was going to say @gmail.com, but that's our email.
Or @thesciFiChristian.com.
No. Thegreenscreenpodcast.com.
But you did once
you can
send people to the Green Screen Podcast.
Facebook.
@thesciFiChristian.com.
Green Screen Podcast. Our Twitter handle is Green Screen Pod, and you can find us on iTunes.
So you guys deal with the TV show Arrow.
Arrow is our main focus.
Yep. And then you also talk about the DC universe, but then much more. So you basically, so you cover a lot of sci-fi news that we cover. So you brought your notes from the green screen here tonight, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I asked you to. Did you bring your news notes?
I knew. I have to open up my computer.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
And also lengthy discussions about Channing Tatum's naked body.
Nope. We haven't talked about that in a while, right?
Oh, boy.
Okay. The fact that that denial was we haven't talked about that in a while, those last three words make a crucial difference in what you just said.
Well, Kobe, I don't know if you remember how to do this, but when we hit the music, you have to say you have to sing it's time for sci-fi news. So here we go.
Just follow our lead, little buddy.
Got it, Chief.
It's time for sci-fi news.
Doug was a way better singer.
I thought Kobe did well. All right.
Who's Doug?
He was on last week, visiting from Atlanta.
He was actually a really good singer. So
came visit from Atlanta?
Yeah, yeah, for the show.
Do you guys fly him out here?
No. You know what? Oh, Ben, I need to ask you about this. Okay. So today, one of my coworkers was talking about some sort of ministry thing where you can get hooked up with this website where people can give donations. Now, we sometimes ask for donations for ourselves, but I was thinking in 2014, what if we figure out some way to raise money for our cause? And so along the way,
well, let's take care of our bills first.
No, let me just tell you about this. So like there's different incentives. So up to $20, you get something, and then maybe $50 and $100. So I was thinking about a whole bunch of crazy things we could do, like invite people onto the show. If you give.
Oh, I don't want to sell spots on the show. That's not a good idea.
Yeah. This is good.
Not at all.
If they give a big enough amount of money, and so we can find a cause to get behind.
I think I'm picking up what you're laying down. I don't think we want to sell spots on the show.
I'm going to look into what it takes to set this up. And I think in 2014, instead of asking for donations for ourselves, we should ask for some cause. You're making
those aren't mutually exclusive options, you know.
What do you mean?
We can still say, hey, you know, we're doing that. We need your donations, but then there's also, we're going to give out some prizes if you do this.
Speaking of donations, this episode is brought to you by Andrew, who just donated a little bit ago this evening. He gave us I'm not supposed to say that much. Oops, Daisy. He gave us some money.
$50,000.
Yeah, so.
So the rest of you can manage a merely measly hundred, I think, okay, compared to his.
So Andrew writes, Merry Christmas, Matt and Ben. Thanks for all you do for the Sci-Fi Christian Universe.
Oh, you're welcome, Andrew. Thank you for all you do for the Sci-Fi Christian Universe.
That $50,000 will come in handy come Christmas time, right?
It will.
I expect a bonus or a raise or even some sort of pay.
We paid you in theme music. Moving on.
No.
All right. Well, now top news of the day. Top news of the day was already catching up with Kobe Radcliffe. So
we did that.
Boom. So we did that. That's done. End of the year listener appreciation jubilee is in the next episode. That's why Kobe's here, because we're having this big award show.
Oh, I thought I was here for the news.
Oh, sorry. No.
I'm just kidding.
More than that. And other than that,
I wouldn't have driven this far for that.
How far is it? You live in like Blaine.
It's like
you?
Three times as long as it took to get to his old house.
Okay. Next piece of news is this.
I live in Ramsey, dude.
Sandman. Ben, take it.
Yeah, this is exciting news. So the Sandman movie is back on. David Goyer scripting and Joseph Gordon-Levitt producing and possibly starring in this movie.
Now, the Sandman is a graphic novel I've never read. You've read it. Kobe, have you read it?
No.
Okay. Kobe, you were shaking your head as Ben was saying this news. Do you have bad feelings against the Sandman?
Well, I have always thought that Joseph Gordon-Levitt should be the next Batman, but of course now he's Sandman, so what a waste of time that is.
Wait, the two are actually, there's no connection between him not being Batman and him producing a Sandman movie.
Do you know what? There is a connection, though. The fact that he jumped on the Sandman took him out of the running for, he was in the running for Ant-Man.
Sure. Well, that's given to Paul Rudd.
That's right.
Which was already rumored like 3 months ago.
I know. I knew about this.
But now it's for sure.
Well, let's finish with Sandman. So being upset that the Sandman movie is coming out because he wasn't cast as Batman makes no sense whatsoever.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he should have gotten Batman instead of...
Yeah, but it's not an either or.
Mr. Ben Affleck. Because then if he had Batman and Batman versus Superman, he wouldn't be Sandman. I'm just saying.
That's true. He's saying... That's true. If he
that's already done. That's like 6 months old news now.
And still bitter.
Yeah. All right. So, Kobe, you mentioned Paul Rudd as Ant-Man. What are your thoughts on this?
I think Paul Rudd should stay with comedy.
Yeah, you're not really into him in action?
Well, Edgar Wright is a more comedic director. I imagine this is going to probably have a more comedic feel than a lot of the Marvel movies.
Ant-Man will probably have an appearance in Avengers 2, most likely.
No, that's not true, actually.
Yes, he will.
Do you want to bet some money?
How much?
$5.
I don't have $5.
Okay. I can almost guarantee.
I will pay for your movie.
Okay.
That's probably more than $5, man.
I know, but...
I can almost guarantee he won't be, because unless you're talking about post-credit scene, he may be in a post-credit scene, but he won't be in the actual
story.
That puts
him in the movie, right?
No. No. Post-credit scenes don't... I'm gonna be the arbitrator in this bet. Post-credit scenes don't count. It's the actual movie.
That is part of the movie, because always in Marvel movies, all of them have to...
Yeah, but in this most recent one, Thor 2, the director actually... this is happening again.
I just want to shut it off to make sure.
Oh, good. Kobe, shut this one off. Thank you.
Good thing you did that before the show started.
The director of Thor 2 was mad that they had added a post-credit scene that he wasn't a part of.
Exactly.
Because it's a totally separate entity.
I think that post-credit scenes may get added. They might be made by a different creative team than the movie preceding. So post-credit scenes don't count in this bet.
I've got some crazy news. Crazy. And I can't believe you didn't cover this on the green screen, Kobe, because you cover news much the same that we do. And yeah. Ben, I did share this with you. We talked about it on Facebook a little bit, but this is unbelievable. We've talked a lot about how movie studios are trying to do a movie universe. So everybody's trying to copy Marvel to have all these different movies connected. And we knew that the other factions that kind of have some Marvel properties wanted to do this. So we heard about X-Men and Fantastic Four coming together. Well, now... we've got Sony saying that they're looking at a Spider-Man universe, because that Sony only owns the rights to Spider-Man, so there's not a lot of heroes to work with, but they do have a lot of villains. So,
oh, we talked about that kind of. So we mentioned it.
So they right now Sony is putting together a group of people to oversee the Spider-Man universe, and the next movies are going to come out besides Amazing Spider-Man 2, 3, and 4 are going to be Venom, and then the Sinister Six. They're getting their own movie. Thoughts, Kobe?
So are they now supposed to be looked at as superheroes, or how? I don't understand.
Well,
I don't understand the idea of having them have their own movie.
The only cool thing about the Sinister Six is that Drew Goddard, who's worked with Joss Whedon a lot, he's doing the upcoming Daredevil. He's going to write it, and he possibly is going to direct it, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets attached to it, I'd be more interested, but gosh, this just sounds pathetic. It's a cash grab.
Okay, so... Kobe, I don't want you to talk about this too much because I don't want Ben to attack you, but I know that you're kind of a fan of the Transformer series because you like Shia LaBeouf, right?
Shia LaBeouf, absolutely. Okay.
And
who doesn't?
Some of the writers of that were Alex Kurtzman and
That's
Robert.
Fine.
Alex Kurtzman and Robert Orsi, they were part of Transformers, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they are the ones with a guy whose name is Ed Solomon. They're going to be writing the screenplay for Venom, which Kurtzman is going to direct.
Oh.
And now listen, it gets worse. It gets way worse. Kurtzman and Orsi and Jeff Pinkner, who was a part of Fringe, they're writing the screenplay for The Amazing Spider-Man 3, and Mark Webb is going to be returning to direct that. So I like the director. I don't like Kurtzman and Orsi being attached. They've released the release date, June 10th, 2016, 2 years after Amazing Spider-Man 2, we'll have Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Hmm.
Thoughts on all this?
I wish Mark Webb... He's such a talented director. What he did with 500 Days of Summer, he's not talented with these bland blockbusters. I wish that he would go and do more things like what he had success with 500 Days of Summer. I don't like seeing him swallowed up by the studio machine.
Yeah, this is crazy. So they're calling them. They have a funny name for them here. I think just the Brain Trust. Yeah, the franchise Brain Trust. Alex Kurtzman, Roberto Orsi, Jeff Pinkner, Ed Solomon, and Drew Goddard, all being overseen by Avi Arad, who did...
The Hulk.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, and then Matt Tolmach, who I've never heard of. So
this
a seven-man team
is
to bring
be a
us
disaster.
The Spider-Man universe.
All you have to know is Orsi and Kurtzman, with Kurtzman directing... Well, if Kurtzman is every bit as talented a director as he is a writer, you can expect a truly craptacular movie.
Kobe, I'll take your next piece of news.
So this has to do with Batman and Superman movie.
Okay.
Wait, there's going to be one of those?
Yes, it is.
Okay, go ahead.
That's not the official title, but you know.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Man of Steel in the Dark of the Night,
oh my
Bat
gosh.
Forever.
They have so many bad
it
working
was
titles.
Horrible. So yeah. You guys went through them quite well on the green screen. I agree with your assessment completely. Every one of them was just
crappy.
Yeah.
First part of news from Batman Superman is that Joaquin Phoenix is being sought for a role in that movie.
I think the offer's been made.
Really?
Yeah.
And he has not yet made a decision one way or the other.
He hasn't been in movies for how many years now, though?
Is he? He's in a movie that's being released like this week.
Oh, so he's starting movies again now, though?
That whole thing
I haven't seen him forever.
Well, yeah, the whole thing with him like quitting movies was a bit. Okay. That wasn't real.
Okay.
It did come off as real.
Because he wasn't in movies for a long time.
No, he's been in quite a bit lately. I mean, that was a mockumentary thing. And,
okay, good, yeah. Because he's not a bad actor.
No, he's very good. Yeah, I think he'd make a great Lex Luthor. This is one of the few things that's...
But it's not confirmed that it's going to be Lex Luthor, just a villain role.
No. You don't bring in a guy like that, though.
Okay. With the name and the star power. Well, if it's a villain role, I'm probably not interested. If it's Lex Luthor, I think he'd do a good job.
Yeah. And then the bigger part of this, though, is that the writer who wrote... the screenwriter who wrote Argo, Chris Terrio, is now taking over the script for Batman vs. Superman.
Okay, so you covered this news on the green screen. And at first, I honestly didn't believe it was true. But then I had confirmation from BJ, who read the quote offline. So tell us about this. So the guy, David Goyer, who had originally written the script for Superman vs. Batman, apparently they brought somebody new in to rewrite it.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
It is. Yeah, I think that... For as much as I like Joaquin Phoenix, for as much as I think he'd do a good job, there's just not a lot about this movie that's been encouraging. That's going to be overstuffed, too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, and I'm not optimistic about it.
I feel like they just keep adding more things to it to try and make it seem like, oh, this is going to be the best movie of all time. I mean, they just added Wonder Woman to it, not too long ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever.
Yeah, and there's been rumors of Nightwing, which may very well not be true, but still, it's just...
And The Flash has been rumored to be part of it.
Yeah, I think this movie could be a disaster.
I just think it's really interesting that now they're like, oh, let's rewrite the screen, or let's rewrite the script with this guy.
That's always a bad sign.
Yep.
Maybe they looked at David Goyer's script and like, you know, this kind of sucks.
Or maybe they looked at it and thought, this is a really deep and thoughtful movie.
Throw it out, more action!
Although, Chris Terrio is pretty good. I mean, he won an Oscar for Argo.
Maybe they called up Kobe, and he read the script. He said, where's the Channing Tatum nude scene in here? I need that to approve this movie.
That's messed up.
All right. Ben.
Next, yes, sir. Please.
Now, we don't have a slew of casting news, but we do have one piece of casting news.
Yeah.
And that is that the actress who you know as Daenerys Targaryen.
Yes.
From
Emilia Clarke.
Game of Thrones. Emilia Clarke. Do you know who she's going to be playing?
Yeah, she's going to be Sarah Connor in the Terminator reboot. Good for her. I'm not a bit interested in seeing the reboot. But I'm glad to see her getting some success. She's a good actress.
Yeah. And let's see here.
I had a little What the Frodo news. I don't have the sound clip tonight because I don't have my iPad. But What the Frodo news. So there was a little Avatar news, which was just announcing their like release dates or whatever. But did you see the what film franchise James Cameron compared Avatar to? He told us that we should watch it as though we are watching this franchise.
No,
care
I
to take a
that.
Guess?
I only want to guess Twilight.
I want to say Lord
for
of the
fun.
Rings.
Nope. He said that we need to think of Avatar like we think of The Godfather.
Oh my, that's not even close. And The Godfather makes that movie look like crap, so.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So apparently, we've all been watching Avatar wrong.
So there's supposed to be like some guy that's in charge.
Rather than a cheap remake of Pocahontas, it was actually The Godfather all along.
All right. Hey, listen to this.
Take that, science.
In today's Take That, Science, we find out that government agencies have been hunting terrorists in World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Now, it's been well documented that your phone is being tapped, and we generally accept that Google is probably giving out our information, but what you might not know is
Are
that...
Are you reading something right now?
Every single Take That Science is an article.
Oh, okay.
You knew that.
Yeah.
But what you might not know is that in an effort to track terrorist activities, agencies like the NSA and GCHQ are also investigating online video game spaces like World of Warcraft and Second Life. The NSA penned a document back in 2008. Called Exploiting Terrorist Use of Games in Virtual Environments, wherein online gaming spaces were described as target-rich communication networks. That made it so intelligence targets like terrorists could hide in plain sight. With that in mind, a myriad of agencies around the world have taken to the wild world of internet gaming in hopes that they might discover terrorists trading information in the open worlds of World of Warcraft and Second Life. So let me go down here. There are so many agents out there, out and hiding in the World of Warcraft. They have to be careful not to be redundant or otherwise get in each other's way. Finally, World of Warcraft producer Blizzard Entertainment denies any involvement, saying, "We are unaware of any surveillance taking place. If it was, it would have been done without our knowledge or permission." Now, that's the end of that quote. Final statement of the article. What makes this most notable and newsworthy now, though, is the new sharing element that's been introduced into Sony's PlayStation 4 and Microsoft's Xbox One. If the latest console's architecture is a predictor of things to come, then exponentially more people will have their daily online experiences easily accessible to government agencies in years to come.
Yeah, I think that this confirms a lot of the hubbub that was going around when Xbox One was first announced, that the Kinect has to be, which is, for those who don't know, is a little motion-detecting camera thing that goes with the Xbox, that the Kinect 2.0 is a requirement with the Xbox One. It always has to be on. So, yeah, I think a lot of us saw this coming down the pipeline. Interesting, this is a good case of us being ahead of the curve, because we talked in our Morality and MMO episode about how MMOs are sometimes used for stuff like money laundering, and how this stuff does take place. So if you're interested in more of this topic, go check out that episode from earlier in the year.
I've had some people asking about the MMO episode. So we had mentioned earlier in the year we're going to be doing a series, and we did do two episodes. Now, had you planned a third one, or are we complete in that series?
No, I think it's just like an ongoing. It's virtual ethics, and when we have something like that to talk about, we can do more. Yeah, I think we'll do some more of those this next year.
Excellent. Kobe, I have only one piece of news left. How many do you have?
I have... at least one.
Go ahead.
I'm looking for the other one.
At least one.
Well, I was looking for the other one. I can't find it.
Go ahead and take it.
This one actually just came out today. That Bryan Singer, who's doing Apocalypse, X-Men Apocalypse.
Yep.
He's bringing back Dan Harris and Mike Doherty, the guys that did X-Men 2.
X2. I actually liked X2.
Really?
That was my favorite one of the original three.
Well, that's really easy because they all were terrible.
That's pretty true. That's not a bad assessment.
So why would they bring back...
I actually like X2, though. I mean, I don't think that one's terrible. I don't think that they're great, but
yeah.
1 and 2 are both okay. 3 is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. So bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the only truly great X-Men movie has been First Class.
Yeah, First Class.
We keep moving farther and farther away from that creative team, so not a good sign.
I'm definitely optimistic for Days of Future Past.
I was going to say, are you optimistic about Days of Future Past, though?
Totally.
I'm curious about it.
All right, I'm going to go to last news of the day, unless you're going to stop me, Kobe.
No, you got it.
News of the day.
Today's last news of the day is also about Avengers 2. We had confirmation that Don Cheadle is going to be in The Avengers Age of Ultron, playing his character War Machine. Well, actually, it doesn't say that. I'm guessing he'll be War Machine. It's obviously possible he could be the Iron Patriot. But many are speculating that this is the way they're going to eventually lead into an Iron Man 4 without Robert Downey Jr.
Pointless, then.
Don Cheadle could be the next Iron Man. Ben, what do you think about that?
I have no thoughts. I'm not interested in what Marvel is doing.
That's too bad.
Why? Have you watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Oh, you actually don't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I don't.
Exactly, like, yeah.
But I'm saying Avengers is totally different than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's way better.
Avengers, but all the other movies?
They're entertaining.
Hey, did you like Thor 2?
I did enjoy Thor 2.
Yeah, I did also.
It was pretty. It was better than Thor the first one.
Oh, by far.
Whoa, that's an accomplishment. It was better than Thor? Are you serious? How could they ever top that movie?
Okay.
Oh, boy. Yeah, see, I mean, I'll see Avengers 2, but I'm not interested in the other...
I thought of my other news.
It's too late. We had last night.
It's too late. You can't do it.
I just wanted to say that I was right all along.
Oh, this is big news, actually.
From day one when I said it, I knew I was right.
I'm going to go find this. You talk. Tell them what it is.
And I was right.
Just get to it.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has been officially listed as the most money-making actor in Hollywood, which means that whatever he is in sells. And who called that? Who said it was fact? This guy.
You did. Kobe. On our show. Now, I'm trying to find...
Yes,
I saw earlier this week that Daniel Butcher...
And almost every single person on here laughed at me and told me I was wrong. And yet...
Wait, how are they quantifying this data?
I'm trying to find the article right now. Here we go.
Everything he's done this year, he's made the most money out of any.
Well, that's because he's been in like 7 movies.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
It's been like 6. But they all made a lot of money.
No, they didn't. One was a direct-to-video.
Okay, I'm just going to read this. It's a brief article. This is from Yahoo News. Dwayne Johnson took the number one spot in the Forbes list of top grossing actors in 2013. Kobe was right.
Well, no, he wasn't. He said that The Rock was the top grossing actor of all time.
I don't think he said
that. He did.
I didn't. You that did. Was not my quote.
Okay, so let me just continue. While his Fast and Furious 6 co-stars Vin Diesel and the late Paul Walker made the top six, The Rock, as Johnson is known since his wrestling career, bested Iron Man 3, starring Robert Downey Jr., by starring in four films in 2013, including G.I. Joe Retaliation, only that collectively four. Brought in $1.3 billion at the global box office. Iron Man 3 is the highest grossing movie so far in 2013, while with $1.2 billion in worldwide ticket sales. Forbes makes the list. Okay, Ben, here's your answer. Forbes makes the list by compiling how many dollars each star's movies brought in at the box office worldwide this year. It does not reflect actors' individual earnings.
Just saying.
Yeah. So all this proves is he was in a lot of movies. Nope. If I was in, you know, if you could find an extra who is in 10 movies this year, they'd probably beat The Rock. So it has a meaningless list.
That's not true.
I think it's, sure it is. They're basing off the people who starred in those movies. Yeah. Oh, wait, who was it? Oh, yeah, The Rock.
Let's just admit, Kobe did call this.
No, he didn't. You. He said it was a fact back then. It wasn't a fact when he said it.
Okay, whatever.
I told you he was the most marketable, and now he is.
No, see that's where I disagree. That proven. It's not a fact that he's the most marketable. It's a fact that his movies made the most. But
No.
Because being the most marketable, you'd have to take average. You'd have to compile, because an actor who's in one movie might make more on average, but or his movies might make more on average than The Rock's do. So that's ridiculous.
Why wouldn't you want the guy, though, in Hollywood that's sitting there and every movie he's in now is going to make a whole bunch of money? Why would you not want that guy?
See, that's the logical error that you're making, is that he makes the most per movie. That's different than made the most overall. That is what you said. The statement that he's the most marketable is the statement that he makes the most money per movie, and that's not a fact.
How come he now has the highest total this year?
Because he was in more movies than other people.
Just saying. Can't argue with facts.
Can't argue with facts. Let's go to listener
feedback.
Indeed,
you can't. No matter how hard you try, little buddy.
All right.
You were wrong, so thank you.
Now listen to this. This will make you happy, Ben.
Yeah.
David Clements wrote on our Facebook page, "I'm in the middle of listening to In a Franchise Funk, and Ben is blowing my mind. Now I'm rethinking my approach to watching films and reading books. This is such a great episode."
That's very kind of you, David.
Mickey Kitt wrote in, also to the Sci-Fi Christian Timeline, and we had mentioned during our Manisode, that Batman, we needed to find a picture of Batman with a beard, and he found one and posted it. This is actually from a Batman series called Venom.
Yeah.
So in that story,
Batman gets hooked on drugs.
Yep, and he's kicking the drug habit and grows a beard. So go check out our Facebook page for that. And finally, we had a question from Scott, who wrote, "In the spirit of episode 200, Matt and Ben, if your wives..."
Is this Sci-Fi Diner, Scott?
No, not him. Okay. One of our listeners.
Okay. Different Scott.
"Matt and Ben, if your wives could become a comic book superheroine, which one would you like to see her as?" You can start.
I don't know.
You gotta
a
pick
hot one.
One. Okay. Just pick one. Just pick any hero.
I don't know that. The only superheroine I know is like Wonder Woman. So give me some options. Give me five options.
All right.
Black Widow.
Wonder Woman.
Elektra. Storm. And Rogue.
I think it's very dangerous to let your wife have powers like Storm, and Rogue is out because you can't touch her. So I'll go with Black Widow.
All right, I'm gonna go
because Wonder Woman's like a goddess, isn't she?
You want a master assassin in your house?
So
rather have that than Storm.
Okay, so
like, I'm angry at you. Here comes a tornado.
Dez is actually a pretty big fan of Superman, and so I'll make her Supergirl.
All right.
So that brings an end to listener feedback. Now, folks.
Yeah, there were some voicemails, but again, I don't have my iPad, so sorry, everyone.
Sorry about that. Listen up, everybody. This is an important announcement. This is the last news episode of 2013, so we're going to be taking a little bit of break. We're going to be pre-recording a few episodes to keep things rolling here. But if you see any big news, post it on our Facebook page and share it with the audience. Ben, if they want to get a hold of us, how do they do that?
They can call us at 612-4121-SFC. They can email us at feedback@thescifichristian.com. They can like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter. And if you'd like more of Kobe Radcliffe, stay tuned to the next episode where we have the Sci-Fi Christian's End of the Year Listener Appreciation Jubilee.
Woo-hoo! Oh my gosh, man.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Kobe Radcliffe.
And I am the one, the only, Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christian's, signing off.
Kobe was right.
Goodbye.